So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast.
And good morning, everybody. It's Dan Latto speaking. Hope you're well today. So welcome to Business Growth Show. My name is Dan Latto. Hope you're well today. So in this session today, we're going to talk about the four unfair advantages in life. And I'm pretty sure you must have come across these yourself. You've either had one of these four unfair advantages, or you've suffered because somebody else has had them and you've either lost out on a job, you've lost out on the ideal person of your dreams, you've lost out on in all sorts of immeasurable ways. But also, to some extent, you'll have gained because of a lack of one of these things as well. And so in this session today, really we want to talk about how to turn it around a little bit. So if you are struggling with this, that's exactly what we want to talk about. So let me just hit the start record button as well, because we've had a problem last week with it just crashing. Anyway, so welcome to Business Growth Show. Welcome to a Business Growth Show, the four unfair advantages in life. Number one, then, is money. And obviously, right now, you know, we've got energy prices going up so much, inflation is going up so much, and for some people, they've had parents that have been able to pass on their wealth. I mean, one of the most obscene ones that I can actually think of is someone like Jacob Rees-Mogg, who's just a horrid person. Who would vote for that person? It's just a horrid person, but so much money, makes decisions for the entire country based on his personal wealth and his tax situation. If you know anything about Brexit, you'll understand that. And it's just a horrid thing. Well-educated because he went to Eton, had all the connections, and really that's what Eton does, doesn't it? It just puts everybody into the seat of being Prime Minister. Not a great advert for Eton. Just horrific. I think if I met someone from Eton, I'd just walk away, quite frankly. I wouldn't want to even connect with them because just must be horrid people. Anyway, so money is definitely an advantage that if you were born without money, boy, life is hard. I mean, we were lucky. My dad was self-employed. He didn't not have money, but he worked a lot of hours in order to gain that money. And so although we started out with not a huge amount of money, you know, we didn't have secondhand clothes or clothes falling off our backs. You know, we had everything that we wanted within reason, I would say. But also that work ethic of working 50, 60, 70 hours a week, working weekends, working evenings, you know, that has to be an advantage somewhere rather than relying on your resources. Now, don't get me wrong, relying on resources is an awesome thing to do if you've got access to those resources. And if you haven't got access to resources, now's the time to go and get some access to resources. But I also think that not having money can be a really big advantage. And we see this all the time, don't we? Rags to riches, I had no money. I remember one of the comedians, and he was sleeping in his car, and his wife was like, he was like, oh, I'm just going to give up. Michael McIntyre. And his wife was like, no, don't give up. Keep going. And he kept going, and then he made it, you know. And Conor McGregor is another really good one. You know, they were on benefits. And they stuck with it. And not having money can actually be quite an advantage, I feel. Because, and also another advantage, by the way, is having money, losing the money. Because then you're like, oh my gosh, this is, and I've been there, by the way, horrific experiences financially. And it's even worse because you've actually had it and then you lost it. And then you work really hard to get it again. And you say to yourself, I'm never going to get back into that position. And you work hard enough to make sure that you never get back to that position. But I don't think not having money to start with is a problem. I think it's your attitude to not having money at the start that's actually the problem. And I think that if you can work on that, you can turn it around. I don't also believe that not having money should be like, you know, I hate, one of the sayings I absolutely hate is, would you rather be wealthy or happy? And I'm like, well, both. Oh, no, you can't be both. Sorry, who said I can't be both? You can't have money and happiness? Yeah, but it doesn't buy you happiness. Of course it bloody does. Buys you a jet ski. It's kind of the same thing. Buys you a private helicopter. Kind of the same thing. Bailiff's not knocking at the door. Kind of the same thing, you know? So I hate this dichotomy of, oh, you know, if you have money, you're unhappy. like there's this thing about being poor, like it's honourable to be poor. It's not honourable being poor. I can't, you know, having to go to the food bank. There's no honour in going to a food bank. I would imagine it's pretty bloody embarrassing. We're lucky we've never had to do that. But just because you've not had money and you've not come from a place of money doesn't mean that you can't get money. There are ways of doing it. And I think that not having money, growing up and going, you know, to university eventually or wherever it is that you ended up getting your first job at age 16 like I did, I think there's an advantage to that which gives you this hunger, this eagerness, this fire in your eyes to go out and actually go and get the money so that you can change your life, not just your life, but generationally for your partner, for your kids, for their kids and so on all the way down. And so, you know, not having money, I don't think is an unfair advantage, or having money isn't an unfair advantage. It helps, but, you know, it's not the be-all, end-all. You don't know what would happen if you'd have had that money. Would you have gone down the drugs route because you had loads of money? I was listening to a podcast, I think it was Gary Vee, and he was talking to Gymshark, I think it was, and he was talking about some of his money, his friends at uni, and they had loads of money, and they weren't motivated to actually do the work because they had the money. It wasn't a motivational factor. And so if you haven't got money, I do think that, you know, you can change that around and use that as an advantage for where you are. Being able to live on a shoestring, on a small budget, is incredibly powerful. If you can learn to live for less than 1,500 quid a month in the UK, I think that is incredibly powerful. Knowing that you don't need the Ferrari and driving a Nissan X-Trail, knowing that you don't need the big house and just a studio, because what you're going to do, you're only there to eat, work and sleep, right? What else do you need it for? Until the big bucks come. And I love, you know, I absolutely love that, laying low. The way that we did it with me, going back when I was 26, almost 25 years ago, is that we bought the house and we got our mates to live there and they paid the bills. That's how we actually did it. And I had no money back then. Heck, I didn't even have enough money for the deposit. We did a gifted deposit. Didn't even know what it was back then. So not having money, you know, can be seen as a disadvantage, but I think actually it's an advantage. Okay, one of the other unfair advantages in life is intelligence. And again, you know, I see people who are incredibly intelligent. I mean, Mensa, don't you know? It's like, why are you poor then? Why are you skinned? Why are you having to work 60-hour weeks? If you're that intelligent, what the hell are you doing? What a waste. What a waste of intelligence. Why haven't you gone for a cure for cancer? Why haven't you gone to make yourself incredibly wealthy and those around you wealthy and bring money into your community and make them wealthier? I don't understand that. Being very intelligent. We all know people who are incredibly intelligent, but thick as shit. We've got no life skills. We've got no social skills. They might know pi to the nth degree, but they don't know what to do with that information. They can't make these connections, and they can't translate that into actionable results. And so being super intelligent, I think, is a real negative event. And also, I think it's a curse. I wouldn't class myself as being super intelligent, but I would definitely class myself as being intelligent. For people that know me, going, Dan, what are you on about? with my 5 GCSEs, yes. But there's a different type of intelligence going on. And so maybe we should actually differentiate. What is the different types of intelligence? Is the emotional intelligence? And is that what we were talking about here? And it's not actually necessarily what I'm talking about here. Is it pure raw intelligence? And I think if you've got pure raw intelligence, I think actually that's a real disadvantage. One of the other disadvantages of being intelligent, by the way, is that you can see all the bullshit that's out there going, what's going on? What is this? What are you doing? Look at my voice has gone all high-pitched, but we can see it. And it's like, what's going on? And so, you know, where are you on that intelligence scale? Now, can you increase your intelligence? Of course you can. Absolutely, 100%. I failed an awful lot at school. I did a BTEC in computers. Get in. I went to poly for 6 months, a polytechnic. I hated it. Left that, went straight into work. And yet, despite all that, we've got millions of pounds of property. We've got very successful business, and we live here in Spain by the coastline. Like, is that a sign of intelligence? I don't know. It's a sign of results, I suppose. But can you improve your intelligence? And absolutely. And how do you improve your intelligence? Well, you practice being intelligent. You read more books. You listen to more experiences from people that have been there before. This is why we listen to podcasts. I was listening to some Gary Vee just these last couple of days. Because I was on the flight and things, and my Netflix device didn't work. So I listened to Gary Vee's podcast. Awesome stuff. And he was interviewing other people, one of them was Gymshark, to see what they were doing and how they did it. Gary Vee's now on the board of Gymshark, believe it or not, which is amazing. So you can change your level of intelligence. And just because you were born with a gifted intelligence doesn't mean that you're going to utilize that in a way. So if you are, and this was actually one of my problems at school, is because I would class myself as being intelligent, but I was lazy as hell. I didn't put the work in. And like, imagine if I'd have put the work in. I would now be working for somebody else, doing very intelligent things, but I would be working in a suit and a tie in an office for somebody else. And because I was lazy, I didn't get the exam results, and therefore I had to go out and make life how I wanted to shape it. And so being over-intelligent can be a really bad idea. I'm not in shorts and T-shirt today, but I'm generally in shorts and T-shirt. I employ the people who are very intelligent. I recruit people who've got, you know, degree-level education to actually do the grunt work, the images and the videos and all that stuff that we have to do as part of a digital marketing agency, and yet I'm not degree-educated. And I actually think it can go against you because you just fall back on your intelligence. You don't even have to revise for exams because you just pass anyway. Well, imagine that out in the real world. That might have worked really well in school. But in the real world, if you're not putting the work in, what's that saying? Hard work pays off. It's not just about intelligence, but it's about hard. I can't remember what the saying is. But being very intelligent, I actually think is quite a disadvantage, quite frankly, because it gives you a false sense of where you are in the world. And then when you leave uni, school, college, and you go out in the world, and there's you know, I don't know, I'm trying to think of an industry that's not classed as intelligent kicking your ass. And I can't think of one without obviously upsetting people. But plumbers, obviously plumbers are very intelligent as well. Fixing boilers, I can't do that. But then they've gone on training courses. So that's how you fix your intelligence. But they're out there kicking people's asses. People who are classed as unintelligent. One of the things I absolutely love, by the way, in Forrest Gump is that Forrest was too stupid to know that he couldn't do something. And I loved that about Forrest. It's the biggest thing that I learned from that film was that he was too stupid to know you couldn't do something, so he just went and did it anyway. And so there are other people out there that are too stupid to know they can't do something, and they go do it, and they're incredibly successful. And you and I both know people who are like that. This is quite a controversial one, by the way. So one of the four unfair advantages in life is looks or attractiveness. And I'm sure we've seen this. You know, you've seen the attractive girl or guy, and they always get promoted. And you're like, he's an idiot, or she's an idiot. And they, for some reason, move further on. And we know what the reason is, because they're more attractive. And in fact, studies have shown that the more attractive you are, the higher your income. For men, the taller you are, the higher your income, because it's a perceived power. And it's all about perceivedness in the workplace, isn't it? But sometimes, you know, you've seen them, and obviously I'm male, obviously, okay? And maybe not obvious, I don't know. So my pronouns, I've never said this. My pronouns are he, him. or just call me God, I don't mind. I'm happy with that. But I'm a guy, right? So one of the things I notice, and it really bugs me, is when you see an attractive woman and she's flirting away and then she gets promoted and you're like, and she's an idiot. Like, it's the thing I notice because I'm a guy, right? And I'm attracted to women. But also, there will be guys out there who are also stupid, but because they are well-built, go to the gym, or they increase their are attractive, they get pushed to the top of the pile as though they're somehow more successful. And it's bullshit, and I absolutely hate it. But one of the good things is, and actually this is one of the things I've experienced quite a lot of, and also I'm ginger, by the way. I'm grey. As my daughter told me this morning, which was always pleasant. Describe daddy, grey. Yeah, thanks for that. Yeah, thanks for that. But when I was growing up, as obviously a very ginger haired kid, I got overlooked all the time, and it still happens. You know, I play basketball. 5'7", not built well. I'm just a little guy. I'm quick, and they look at you and go, pfft. And then you come out and score 35 points on the ass. And they're like, oh, It's completely unexpected. It's one of the things I absolutely love is taking people by surprise. If I look at you and go, he doesn't know anything. And the number of times I've actually had this and said nothing. You know, we're in a business situation and we're trying to solve a particular puzzle. And I've actually got the solution to the puzzle. I just sit back and watch them. Because I've tried to offer my advice before. Oh, no, Dan, no, you don't know what you're talking about. Okay, all right then. We're trying to solve this puzzle. Dan, any ideas? Nope. None at all. And I'm happy to let them fail. Because if you think that you rising to the top is going to be the thing that sorts that, you know, because I don't look the part, that's fine. Off you go. You go do it. And so, you know, the whole don't judge a book by its cover is true. But is being good looking a fair advantage in life? Now, obviously, if you're female, I think you've got other stuff that you have to contend with, some pretty horrific stuff. I was reading on Twitter just this week, a woman, she was on a train, there's nobody else on the train, a guy gets on, sits directly opposite her, she gets off, he gets off, he follows her. Excuse me, very worrying type of situation. Men generally don't have to put up with any of that. We don't have sexism generally. Obviously, some people have had bad stuff happen to them in that sort of situation. But this stuff happens to women far more than it does men. And if you're an attractive woman, it happens far more. And, you know, obviously that shouldn't happen. And I wrote a long post about how us men need to be aware for our brothers and sisters that might get into trouble like that with other, you know, other men following them and so on. But that can really go against you. Unwanted attention in clubs, bars, offices, all that can go against you. I read... after the Me Too thing that came out, I think it was Tony Robbins, and he was recruiting a person, and there were two people it came down to, and he recruited the unattractive one. And it might not have been Tony Robbins, it might have been someone he was talking about, but I've heard this story a number of times. Two people, both attractive. The attractive one doesn't get the job. And the reason they don't get the job is because they said, imagine that in the office and the distraction that would create. And so, you know, obviously it's a subject that's controversial, but is being good looking or attractive an actual unfair advantage, or is it a disadvantage? And that's for you to decide. I don't know. As obviously the best looking person on the planet, I wouldn't know about that. Okay, next one. The last four of the four unfair advantages in life is insight. And insight is something that I've actually got a lot of, I would say. And I think this is probably our biggest unfair advantage. We didn't have money, we didn't have intelligence, we didn't have looks, but we have got insight. And so first of all, let me just define what I think insight actually means. Insight is being able to look at the future and to be able to make these disparate connections between all these different things that are going on. Some point in the future and going, okay, because of all that and all of this, we're going to take this path and it gets you to where you want to get to. And being able to choose the path, having the ability to choose the right path to get you to where you want to get to with all these obstacles and all these opportunities, some point in the future is what I would class as insight. I'm sure the dictionary definition is vastly different than my definition. But one of the things that we've been very good at, let's just take the pandemic as something, you know, we saw this happening in China, people walking around in hazmat suits and machine guns, welding people into the houses. And I'm looking at that on Twitter and I'm like, there was a video of that, and I'm like, something's coming, something big. We actually started buying toilet roll, shall we say, and tinned food and water and Coke and, you know, stuff that we could just pack the house with effectively. Like a whole month or two before it actually hit. We were very well prepared for that. And it's because I could see all these disparate things. And then we saw what was happening in Italy. And I'm like, well, if it's happening there, it's going to happen here. And so we had great insight into what was going to happen. And it was the right choice. But this is the thing about insight, using that as an example. If I'd have got it wrong, okay, first of all, we wouldn't be talking about it, so you'd never know, number one. If at first you don't succeed, hide all the evidence you ever did it, right? But also, if we got that insight wrong and the pandemic just blew over and it was nothing, we would just have a load of food in the house and a load of toilet rolls. So it would have meant we wouldn't have had to buy anything for the next, you know, 3 or 4 months, which is what happened, right? But that level of insight, it worked very well for us. because it meant that we were well prepared. But also, the fallback position was if we got it wrong, it was no big deal. You know, we just had lots of food left over if the pandemic had blown over. But one of the other insights was something I called a reverse ripple. And this is in property market and property prices in London. And all the prices were going up. I can't actually remember it now. It's about 2008, maybe. All the prices were going up. The prices were going down, and so yields were going down. So all the investors were going up north, that was it. And as the investors were going up north, all the investment type of properties were going up in value. Even though London's going down, the north was going up because it's the reverse ripple effect. All the investors then moved out of London, started buying up north because of all the high-yielding properties. But this is just an insight, and we bet the house on that. We ran that. We started buying up, buying and selling, buying, doing up and selling, and we made a lot of money based on that insight. Bitcoin is another great insight that we had. We could see it coming, and unfortunately, I still listened to what other people didn't have a bloody clue, and, you know, the reminders are constant. Dan, do what you need to do. Don't follow everybody else. And that's really good advice, by the way. You should be analysing everything. Look at the insight. And obviously, as we look back at Bitcoin now, it's so obvious. And I know Bitcoin's down and everything's down. And people go, oh, crypto's all down. Ooh, are you regretting it? And it's like, dude, come back to me in 10 years and ask me if I regret it, if I let you on the yacht at that point. And so that as an insight. And then you're looking at what's next. And, you know, I think it's NFTs, but it's not the current level of NFTs. I think, you know, if you're an artist, I think you're making a lot of money potentially on NFTs. Everybody else, it's just a load of rubbish. But where do you get insight from? How can you get more insightful? And it comes from reading. I think it comes from reading. It comes from knowledge. It comes from listening to podcasts. It comes from reading a book from 1984, not necessarily that book, let's say 1989, Business at the Speed of Thought was a book written by Bill Gates, which I picked up probably in the early 90s, maybe mid-90s. Whenever that book came out, I went to a Microsoft event, we got a free copy, very thick tome. I read through all that book, Business at the Speed of Thought, about how quick business is happening, about removing friction in transactions. All that stuff is now completely true. Like, you know, we got one click ordering on Amazon and it turns up that afternoon. That's just phenomenal. The speed of business is accelerating. And so going back and reading some books from the older times and seeing what we got right and what we got wrong will give you a really good insight into what's going to happen 20 or 30 years from now. You know, your friends right now are going, what are you putting money into Bitcoin for? Or cryptocurrency. And then in 30 years, we're going to say, how did you make all that money in cryptocurrency? You know? And it's insight. Now, are you going to get some of these wrong? Absolutely. Like, you know, we got money in Dogecoin. Is that a real long-term thing? I can't see it, except I think Elon might make it, you know, a currency of some kind on Mars. So in 100 years, maybe, like, if it even exists, you know, in its current format back in the future. But how do you get insight? How do you look at what's happening? So you read books from the past, you read books from now, you listen to podcasts, you listen to what other people are thinking, and you're looking at the markets and you're seeing what's happening on the markets. What's happening with inflation? Like, if inflation's running at almost 10%, which it is, more or less, you know, rents went up 9%. Inflation's, what, 7%? You've got rents going up and you've got the cost of your pounds in your pocket going down, and this gap is getting bigger and bigger. Like, understand the markets. Understand economics. Understand what opportunity cost is and elasticity of demand and all of those exciting terms that I was lucky enough to learn when I was 14. But that's what an insight is. And then match all these disparate items together. My daughter's got this, by the way. She's 7 now. And she's got this ability to see these different things and then connect them in a way that no one's seen before. That's insight. Sometimes she'll get it right, sometimes she'll get it wrong. But the more she does it, the more she's learning to trust that gut feeling about what she's thinking about a thing, which is what I do. And unfortunately, you have all these people come and go, oh, no, well, that won't work. Oh, Bitcoin, rubbish. I always remember a guy, and I was talking about getting a website. And this is going back in the 90s, okay? And I'm like, oh, and we, you know, we've been doing websites for 20 years, on or off in one form or another, you know, on the side to make money, you know. And I'm like, are you going to get a website? And he's like, oh, it's just full of, and I won't use the term,
but it was a four-letter term. Ends in a ank. These are just ank images. That's all the internet's good for. And so he never got a website, you know. And I look at that and I'm like, that was a lack of insight. And obviously we've been doing websites for donkey's years. We should do a podcast, by the way, on on how porn has got us to this stage technologically. I'll give you it now because it's quite, very funny. So without VHS being invented, obviously it was invented for porn, right? And without streaming, video streaming, that was invented for porn too. The whole society that we live on was based around porn and the need for porn. And now look, it's everywhere, right? It's causing a real problem. But having insight into what the businesses are going to be doing in 20 years' time. What are you going to be doing in 10 years' time? 5 years' time? 30 years' time? What's the world going to look like then? Are people actually going to get up and go to networking events? Yes. Are people really after virtual events? Yes. Is there an opportunity for virtual events? Absolutely. Are we all going to be sat there wearing a VR headset, looking like, I don't know, a dragon or a spaceman or a purple person or whatever, right, as our avatar? Absolutely. Is that stuff coming in the metaverse? 100%. Does it look absolutely ridiculous today? 100%. Trust me on this, in 30 to 50 years, we'll have little, what do I call them, contact lenses with video cameras. And your memory storage. It will all be done in 50 years' time. It's there. It's happening. And that's insight. So it's like, what about robotics in space? What about robots and servant robots, helpers? What about, cars on Mars? Are they all going to be driving around in a Tesla Cybertruck? Absolutely. Do you think Elon's going to drop one of his car on Mars? One of his cars on Mars? Do you think that's going to happen in the next 10 years? I would put 50 quid on that. Is there a bet that I can make on that at William Hill, I wonder, the bookies? Because that stuff is going to happen. And it's just being able to look at what's happened in the past and then see where we go in the future. We, you know, just over 100 years ago, we couldn't fly. Was it 1908, 1912 at Kitty Hawk? We couldn't fly. In 1922, look at the airplanes we had back then. Look at where we are now. Spaceships didn't even exist until the 60s, 50s. And that came from war. Like, look at where the stuff is going and look at what's happened in the past and what... Oh, men in space, that's ridiculous. Flash Gordon, stupid, ridiculous. It's so far-fetched. That's insight. Being able to see beyond what everybody else is seeing and being able to see beyond the ridicule of what we think is going to happen, that is insight. And you get insight by being very eyes open, being very aware, reading lots of books and seeing what's happened in the past from futurists and then seeing where we are now. And then just moving back forward and edging your bets on what's going to happen and, where we think society's going to go. Anyway, look, that's the four unfair advantages in life. Hope that's useful for you. We'll catch up with you on the next podcast. My name's Dan Latto. Take care.
Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.